All right, and now I'm going to NTI chapter 19, which I have on page, stay still. Something's going on with my iPad, it's acting weird. See, I'm trying to get the page number to show up. There we go. I have it on page 246. How about you guys? 246. Okay, NTI Acts chapter 19, page 246. Let me see. Oh yeah, your letters are much smaller than mine.
Yeah, mine's 245.
Okay, here we go. NTI Acts chapter, we're comparing our, because even her Kindle and my Kindle have different page numbers. But her text is very tiny. So, NTI Acts chapter 19. The path with me will seem to come in stages. First, there is the search. This is a time of faith in the Holy Spirit, when one does not know how or where to find him. He only asks that he come and help him. This stage is a very important stage, for this is the beginning of your willingness. This is also a time of great faith, for you may seem to have very little evidence that a Holy Spirit exists, and yet you continue to have faith that it does. And, of course, you know, the word Holy Spirit is being used here because, of course, we're looking at the interpretation of a Christian document. But, you know, this is true for everyone, even if they don't have the concept of the Holy Spirit. It's more like you have faith that there's something divine, right? But you don't have any proof of it. But, you know, something in you is causing you to begin seeking it. I am grateful to you for entering this path with me at this stage. Know that I am with you and guiding you, though you may not be aware of it yet. There are no accidents with me or with you. All things work together for God. And, you know, lots of people don't know that they're guided when they are guided. You know, and you occasionally hear these stories, like my friend Pam Silberman. The way she found A Course in Miracles was she was in an old bookstore and it literally fell off of the top shelf and hit her in the head. my old boss from when I used to work, Beth, even though she knew about NTI, did she know about NTI? She may not have, because when I was working, I had not yet started scribing NTI. I was having visions and I was writing with Spirit personal messages. But it was after I left my job and moved that I started writing NTI, so I don't know if she knew about it or not. But she knew about me, and she knew about the spiritual transformation I was going through. And she had some curiosity, but not a lot of interest. Well, about a few years later, because now NTI is published, so a few years later, she walks into a bookstore, and she's feeling like she wants to find something. So she says a little prayer as she walks in the bookstore, and she says, just guide me, you know, to whatever book will be most helpful. And she walks into the bookstore, kind of with her eyes closed, not paying attention, gets to the spiritual section, opens her eyes, and it's NTI. Which I thought was kind of funny because I used to work for her. But, you know, you hear all these kinds of stories, and so obviously people are being guided, right? Even though they don't know they're being guided. And so that's what this is saying. This is saying you may not know you're being guided, but you are. You wouldn't be sitting here now, you couldn't be listening to this now if somehow your inner guidance hadn't brought you to this point, right? So ego wouldn't bring you here. There must be something else that's moving you.
Well, I find touching, I guess. I am grateful. No.
I am great. Yes, that is touching. I am grateful to you for entering this path with me at this stage. Yeah, that is very sweet. All right, verses 8 to 10. The beginning of your path may seem to be a time of study, reflection, and questioning, but more is happening within your mind than that. You are beginning to let me loosen thoughts you have held firmly to until now. It is important that these false beliefs be loosened so you can take the next step to let them go. Therefore, do not be disheartened if this stage seems to take time. It is important to the whole. And of course, we've all had this experience by now that as we're reading, you know, whatever spiritual books we're brought to or listening to whatever teachers, You know, the way that we used to think, it's totally being brought to question. It's impossible for that not to happen. And so as the way we used to think is being brought to question, it's like all these ideas are being loosened. And in fact, today in a teaching I did, I used the example of how the ego is like a wall, you know, a brick wall. And what's happening is these bricks are really being loosened, you know, as we are listening to teachers and reading books, so that when we're ready, we can start taking those bricks down. You can help in this process by having faith in me and the guidance that comes from within. Follow internal prompts to read certain books or go to certain teachers, but do not feel you need to go to them all. Do not feel that they have an answer they can give to you. The answer is always within. But the books and teachers that seem to come before you can seem to help you, as you give willingness to let old thoughts be loosened within your mind. It is their role to help, and they are grateful to help, but do not expect more from them than they can give you. So this is really interesting. I love sentence 7, where it says, follow internal prompts to read certain books or go to certain teachers, but do not feel you need to go to them all. I don't know about you guys, but I can feel the difference between when I'm being guided to a book and then when somehow ego is like wanting to read everything and seek and see if there's something, some magic bullet that I haven't found yet. You know, like it has a different feel. And really, you know, going after the magic bullet, the seeking, the reading as fast as you can, as many books as you can, going to every seminar that passes by is not helpful. But that doesn't mean you won't read books and doesn't mean you won't go to seminars. It's a matter of knowing which ones you're being guided to, knowing which ones something in you is just saying, you know, go here, you know, and read this. And every time that I follow that feeling in me that I've learned to recognize, I find something useful. Oftentimes now it's not that I'm learning anything anymore, but maybe I didn't have 100% confidence in something in myself, and being able to read someone else express the same thing erases the doubt. You know, it's kind of like doubt erasing that happens. So it's really nice to find it expressed by others. Because I find so much in my case coming up from within me, and that seems to cause seems to give an opportunity for doubt. But when you see somebody else that you trust saying the same thing, then, you know, it makes it, clears it away. So it's kind of nice. When you search for me without knowing where to look, you can be misled by your own sense of unworthiness. For the unworthiness believed within the mind will tell you that others have what you do not. This may lead you to accept what you would not, what you would otherwise not accept. Do not let the voice of unworthiness fool you. No one has what you do not. Everyone has the same. So this is, you know, sometimes important depending on the types of teachers you come across and depending on the types of books that you read. What this is saying is that your wisdom, of course, is extremely wise. You know, even if you don't fully recognize it, it is. And sometimes when you're on this spiritual path, you are going to come across things that are not right for you. Possibly even just plain not right. You know, like they're really not even pointing towards truth is what I mean by not right. And when you come across something that's not right for you or simply not right, and you, if you have a sincerity and you're looking for only what is truth or only what will point towards truth, then something in you is going to say, nah. You know, there's going to be a little feeling in there, nah. And you got to learn to trust that little feeling. And if you happen to be with someone who's really not entirely sincere, you know, someone who, you know, maybe, for example, is trying to gather lots of followers, you know, or just get lots of people to think the way they think because they feel better if everybody else thinks that way too. They may even try and tell you that, you know, you're a beginner or you have too much ego or you don't have enough clarity or, you know, whatever they're going to tell you and that you need to listen to them. What NTI is saying is, no, you need to listen to you. You know, even though you may be the beginner and they may be the, quote, expert, if you've got the little nah, you know, no, this isn't right. You need to listen to that. And that's what NTI is saying here. So it's really wonderful. NTI is pointing out you have the perfect wisdom in you right now. And that's what you want to remember. You have perfect wisdom. And whenever anyone else tells you that you don't have perfect wisdom, that's probably a good person just to walk away from, to be honest.
I was just going to say it's very rewarding when you do follow, and you're still not sure if it was, and then when you see down the road, wow, I know, I am starting to know, you know, I'm starting to be certain, have some certainty, you know, I can trust that.
Yes.
You know,
and like NTI says, you know, it's really our sense of unworthiness, which hasn't been healed yet, that's causing us to doubt ourselves. If we did not have that unworthiness, we would always fully trust our inner feeling because we would trust it. But our unworthiness causes us to doubt it. And then if somebody on the outside is giving you apparently even more cause to doubt it, you may ignore yourself. And you know, do not let the voice of unworthiness fool you. So starting with sentence 7. So as you read and listen to the teachers that cross your path, also feel what they say within. If you are to accept what you read or what you hear, I will tell you from within to accept it. You will know it is for you because I have told you it is. If you do not feel an internal confirmation to pay attention and accept what you read or what you hear, you may let it go. It may not be for you, or it may not be for you now. There are some things that I was guided away from at an earlier time and then guided to later, because the truth is I just wasn't ready for it yet, so it wouldn't have the same meaning. So it could be that this is not right for you, or it could be just not right, not pointing in the right direction, or you just aren't ready for it yet. You know, so do not make the mistake of judging messages or teachers that are not for you. They may be perfect for someone else, or they may be perfect for their own development at this time. Trust in me and remember all things work together for God. Then go where you are to go and accept what you are to accept by following the guidance and knowing that leads you from within. Trust yourself, for in trusting you, you trust me. So that's pretty important about the, you know, the not judging. You know, especially if you do happen to run across somebody who, you know, they're not fully sincere and, you know, they have other purposes like trying to gain followers or whatever. And you come to see that, you know, our tendency with, you know, if we're listening to ego is then to judge that person. And that's just listening to ego. You know, and again, our purpose is not to listen to ego. So you really, you know, want to do your best not to judge. And as this is saying, you know, everything works together for God. You know, like I personally have zero interest in followers. I love friends, don't get me wrong, but I have zero interest in followers. In fact, one thing I'm always paying really careful attention to is, am I acting enough like I don't want to be put on a pedestal? I want to be acting enough like I don't want to be put on. You know what I mean? Like, am I doing that enough so that people can get the message, right? But what we don't know is, because we don't know anything, is this because in another lifetime I did take followers? You know, have I already learned somewhere that that wasn't it, that that didn't work? You know, we don't know these things. So, you know, we don't know what phases we all go through. We don't know what learning looks like if you were able to back up more than this lifetime. And so maybe if we know someone in this lifetime that's trying to gain a lot of followers, they're still ultimately on the same path. Everybody's walking in the same direction. So maybe they have to learn that's not it, right? So we want to be real careful about judging, because whenever we judge, we're coming from a very, very narrow perspective. Everything works together for God, you know, even, quote, mistakes, you know, everything works together for God. And if we keep that in mind, then we can allow people to go ahead and seek followers. We can allow people to go ahead and become followers. And we can also notice that's not for us, and we can, you know, choose to go in another direction. So,
just I know I have, this is an important paragraph for me because I deal with this often. For me, when I'm looking at a particular situation, I recognize that it's not that I want followers. I recognize that. But what I'm seeing is vanity. And what I'm rejecting it is in myself, because I'm seeing it somewhere else. So that's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing vanity. And it's within myself.
Yeah.
Right? So that's what is being pointed out for me, is not so much how it's happening. That probably is part of it, but it's more the vanity that I kind of really have. It's just so deceiving.
Yeah. Well, you know, I experienced pride. Is that the same thing as vanity?
Yeah. Well, I was thinking vanity. Vanity, the desire to be different. That's to me, that's where everything starts. You know, it starts
different
with vanity.
Better than.
Yeah, better than.
Different or more pain or suffering.
Yeah. Well, I experienced pride for a very, very long time. Like, you know, wisdom would come through, and then there would be a sense of pride about the wisdom. Not as the wisdom was coming through, you understand. It was like an after effect.
Right.
And what I really did, to be honest, was I just kept praying, take the pride away. I just kept saying, just take this away, I don't want it. Take the pride away, I don't want it. And I don't really notice that I have an issue with that anymore. So at some point, I can't tell you, like, there was this day. Some stories I have, like, on this day, this happened, right? Mm-hmm. I don't have that kind of story with pride. Mm-hmm. There's no big, you know, day when it died. It just gradually, through that prayer, it just kind of, you know, disintegrated.
I do recognize that I don't want.
Yeah, so just keep praying. Just say, take this away from me. I don't want it. And I think it'll happen. It happened for me. So... And I think that, you know, it's very natural when wisdom starts coming through for the ego to respond with pride, because the ego wants to respond with something.
Sure.
And pride is a good choice because even when the wisdom is coming through, you know, when the wisdom is coming through in that moment, as you know, we're feeling humble. We're letting it come through, but we're awed by it, right? It's like, ah, you know. So ego takes that ah and turns it into pride. It's kind of a natural thing for ego to do.
And then when you recognize that, ego will make you feel guilty.
Then ego makes you feel guilty. Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that ego something? Yeah. So just keep praying. Say, you know, I just don't want this. Just take it away, and in a gentle way, and then have trust that at some point it just won't be there anymore. And you'll still be awed, though. You'll still be you know. The awe doesn't go away, but you can have awe.
Whoa.
Yeah, awe.
Okay.
Do I talk funny?
Yes.
He talk, or does he talk funny? Can you, let me see if I can say it like you.
Whoa.
Whoa. Does anybody else have another way of saying it? Did y'all understand me when I was saying it?
I couldn't understand either of them. What word are we saying?
Well, see, she's from the South, too, so I probably said it. Yeah. That was funny. All right. So, trust yourself, for in trusting you, you trust me. Verses 23 to 41. Okay, here we go. This is good stuff. Within you, there is a reason that knows, and there is another reason that does not know. It can seem confusing deciding which reasoning to listen to when they seem to be different and they seem to both be yours. Therefore, I will teach you the characteristics of the ego's reasoning, and I will teach you the characteristics of the Holy Spirit's right reason. I'll tell you why I'm laughing. Because the thought just came to my mind, you just had pride the other day when you cleaned your closet. I cleaned my closet. I was like, Danielle, come look at my closet.
Oh,
But it does look very nice.
Should have posted it on Facebook.
Posted on Facebook, my clean closet. Okay, let me get back into the let me get back into material here. Okay, therefore, I will teach you the characteristics of the ego's reasoning, and I will teach you the characteristics of the Holy Spirit's right reason. This will help you to recognize each in your mind. Then you may choose to pick one and to dismiss the other as meaningless. So this is, of course, as far as I know, one of the, I mentioned before we turned the recorder on, that there are skill sets that you seem to learn on the spiritual path. I think discernment is the most important. I don't know how you could do anything without discernment. So that's why I love Acts chapter 19 so much, is it helps us to learn discernment between our right mind and our wrong mind, or between the ego and our inner wisdom. So first we're going to look at the ego's reasoning. The ego's reasoning is based on a desire to protect individual self-will. The ego's reasoning sees a me and a them, and it desires very much to protect individual self-interests over the interests of others. It may also join with a group to protect the group's interest, but it is always seeing the need to protect one from another. So, you know, the truth is you could spend time with each of these paragraphs and really start to notice how the ego operates in your mind. You know, but what's most important is there is either a self or a group self, because you're identifying with it. And you want very, very much to make the self or the group self look good, feel good, you know, have what they need. And you don't have that same concern for anyone else. Like, you may have a general feeling, yeah, it would be great if everybody had money. But when it comes right down to it, I want to make sure I have the money, and I'm not going to share my money, you know, with other people, because then I won't have it. So there's a general idea that you like everybody to have, but when it comes right down to it, the giving isn't there, right? Because you're afraid to let go of what you have. Very interested in protecting the self or the family. 9. Therefore, the ego's reasoning sees division and expects attack. Always in one form or another, it expects attack from someone or something outside of it. The ego never expects love and acceptance, because the ego does not see itself as worthy of anything except attack. So again, remember that the ego is trying to protect the self. And if the ego is trying to protect the self, then it also assumes that every other self is doing the same. And therefore, every other self is only out for itself, and you are only out for yourself, which means everybody else is going to be attacking you in order to make them look better, feel better, have more, right? And not only everybody, but just somehow the universe as a whole. It's like the universe is out against you. And that's really a projection of your thought, you know, that you want to protect number one. If you want to protect number one, then everybody else must want to protect number one, which isn't you, which makes everybody else your enemy. And at the level of ego, there's a truth about this. I mean, you know, even at a very, very young age, you see kids start learning how to put each other down, call each other, you know, silly little names. Because if I can put you down, then I can feel better about me, right? But then I have to be very, very careful, because although I'm not consciously thinking about this, something in me knows that all the other kids are just like me. And they're looking for a way to put me down. So I gotta be very careful how I dress. I gotta be very careful what I say. I gotta be very careful who I hang out with. I can't be weird or different in any way, because it's gonna be attacked. You know, and that starts at a very, very young age. Right? Yeah.
And I was, for me, it's, you know, everybody's got, you can never be in somebody else's head.
You know? You can never be in their head.
Be in their head. So yeah. I know for me, It's like, I know I have this private commentary, private voice going on in my head, and it's definitely telling me to watch out for me. So obviously I know that you've got that same voice going on in your head, and so do you, and you, and you.
Which means you can't trust anybody.
Right.
Yeah. That's the ego.
Yeah.
And if you start paying attention for it, you really notice it, you know, that you notice when your mind is doing that, when it's distrusting people, when it's expecting attack. Okay. Because the ego expects attack, and has a desire to protect itself from its perceived threat, the ego engages in defense. The defenses of the ego can take many forms, but always there is an underlying desire to protect from attack. And again, using kids as an example, this is why kids tend to dress alike. They all wear the same kind of sneakers, the same kind of shirts. You know, kids don't think about being individuals. You know, as adults, we grow out of that type of behavior and into another type of defend and attack. But that's really what dressing alike is for kids. It's a defense. I'm safe if I look the same, right? So defense can take all kinds of appearances. There's all different ways that we defend ourselves. But there's a lot of defense going on, probably a lot more than we realize. Like, most people don't think about all their kids wanting to wear shirts, you know, Nike shirts, as being a defense. But that's what it is. Yeah. The ego may engage in an attack first tactic. So here's some types of defense adults use, and kids too. But the ego may engage in an attack first tactic or a smear campaign. The ego may try to hide or utilize evasive maneuvers. The ego may cry and plead its case as victim, hoping to win outside support. The ego may try to outsmart an opponent or elevate itself to artificial standing. The ego will use many defenses, including denial, depression, and pain. All are designed to protect self-will from imagined or perceived attack. So, you know, just so many different options here. You know, if I'm an extrovert, I can use the attack first tactic. You know, if I suspect in my mind that you don't like me, that you're thinking things about me, I can be sure that I come to you and tell you what I think about you before you ever have a chance to do that to me. If I'm the shyer type, you know, the introverted type, and I think you don't like me, I just try to not be around you as much as possible. You know, I just, you know, I see you coming, I head the other way, right? I just avoid you. They're the same thing, right? It's all just whatever type of defense that somehow I'm comfortable with based on the personality I have, but it's still a constant defense mechanism that's going on. The ego expects attack because it believes it deserves it. The ego is fearful, sees itself as unworthy, and believes in its own guilt. These are also characteristics of the ego. It is driven by fear, guilt, and unworthiness, so that it reasons itself into behaviors based solely upon these unconscious beliefs. The ego is seldom aware of the underlying beliefs that seem to drive all of its reactions and everything it does. This is why you must slow down and ask yourself, why? Before running off to an action or reaction that immediately seems right or natural to you, you must seek in quiet to ask yourself, why? And you must continue to ask why until you understand the nature of your reason. So this is basically saying that we're programmed, or some people call it conditioned, to operate out of fear, guilt, and unworthiness. And that we don't even realize that the reason that we're living our life the way we're living our life is because we are conditioned by fear, guilt, and unworthiness. And it's saying that if we want to break free of this, we need to start asking why. You know, for example, one thing that I have noticed within myself is that I have no interest currently right now in spiritual conferences and what they call conferences. And that became very clear to me at the last conference I went to. Conferences are basically all talk. And I find I find nothing in it. It's just nothing at all. And in fact, it's even somewhat draining. I love what I would call a retreat, where a retreat may have some talk, but also has lots of quiet time, lots of space for contemplation. Space and contemplation seems very important to me now. So, but as a speaker, what happens is I get invited to conferences. And one thing I've really had to look at lately was, you know, there's a conditioning in me that wants to say yes, even though my heart doesn't want to go to these conferences. And I've really had to look firmly at that conditioning. This conditioning, you know, you could say it comes from my work ethic, right? Like, this is my job, you know, this is really kind of what I do. But where does my work ethic come from? When I looked at where my work ethic came from, it came from guilt and unworthiness, right? So that means that if my heart is not telling me to say yes when I'm invited to speak at conferences, it's because I'm following my guilt and unworthiness programming. Now, when I did start to say no, do you know what programming came up next? Was my fear programming. The thought started coming up, but if I don't keep going to conferences and keep getting my face out there, I'll be forgotten, people won't buy in TI, I won't have any money, you know, just all these other bad things are going to happen. So, you know, maybe we should go ahead and go anyway. And so in order to say no to conferences, I then had to overcome that programming. And what this is saying is a lot of the decisions we're making in our lives, a lot of the things we're doing are not what our heart would guide us to do. We are doing things because we're being driven underneath by fear, guilt, and unworthiness. And it's really asking us to learn to notice that and then to start saying no to those things, like, no, I'm not going to go to conferences, right? Start saying no to those things and then start asking the heart, what do you want me to do? And start following the heart. And you will find, if you do this, that you're literally going to be changing some of the things, if not a significant number of the things that you do. Because we're programmed, we're like robots or puppets to fear, guilt, and unworthiness. But how can we be free if we're puppets to fear, guilt, and unworthiness? So this is literally asking us to ask, why am I doing this? Is this something my heart wants me to do? Am I doing it because of fear? Am I doing it because of guilt? Am I doing it because of unworthiness? And if so, assuming you want to, nobody's ever forced to do anything, but if you really want to break this programming, then start saying, you know what, I'm not going to do that anymore. Because my heart is not guiding in that direction. And you may feel the experience of what I would call an ego backlash. It's not really an ego backlash. That's what it feels like. What it really is it just means that you still have some belief attached there. You still believe, for example, that if you don't go to conferences, you're going to be forgotten and you're not going to have any money. And because you still believe that, by saying no, while there's still some belief there, you start feeling this ego backlash. But the ego backlash, some people interpret that as an ego attacking. There is no real ego to attack. The ego backlash is really just showing you where you still have some belief. And if you recognize it as that, then you'll understand why you're experiencing now more fear. Or if it's guilt you're not listening to, why you're experiencing more guilt. It's because of the belief that you still have. And so you need to understand, I apparently still believe this programming. And that's why I'm feeling this backlash. Don't ever believe the idea that there's really some monster inside of you called an ego that's attacking you because you're choosing to wake up. That's not true. You're just letting go of attachments before you fully let go of them. Letting go of beliefs before you fully let go of them. And you're feeling the backlash of the part of your mind that still thinks you might be making a mistake. That's what's going on. So it's nothing other than showing you where you still believe things. And again,
that's clear.
Yeah, that's all it is. And it's up to everyone, it's really sincerely up to everyone how aggressive they want to be. I chose to be really aggressive, and I'm happy I did. But if you don't want to be really aggressive in changing your mind about things when you recognize they're just coming from conditioning, you don't have to be. You can be as gentle with yourself as you want to be. That is completely, completely your choice. And there's no guilt about not choosing to be aggressive.
Well, I keep thinking, I'm probably blind to all that that's happening. You know, I'm not
recognizing it. I mean, it's nice to say it here and point it out, but at the time that it's happening, am I really going to be aware that that's what's taking place?
Well, if you start asking why in certain circumstances, that's where you'll become aware. At least that's how it was for me. And but the feeling that even led me to ask why is when I noticed I wasn't totally happy about something that I was saying I would do. Even as light as returning a phone call. There were people that I didn't want to call them back. Why was I calling them back? Guilt.
That's the point when you start feeling uncomfortable is to then ask the why. And
yeah.
Try to let it take you where it's...
Yeah, find out. You know, like, you know, there's always people who, and I'm not talking about you, Dan, just in case you think I am, because he likes to volunteer. But there are people who over-volunteer who don't want to, right? It's just they can't say no. So every time somebody says, will you, they say yes. Will you, yes. Will you, yes. But they don't like it, and so it doesn't feel good. There's no joy in the yeses. It's not, yes, I'd love to, you know? So when there's no joy in it, then you wanna look and say, why do I keep saying yes when I'm not experiencing joy? What's driving this? Because if you're only listening to your heart, what I find is that if I only listen to my heart, and I highlight only listen to my heart, because sometimes I'm listening to both sides of my mind at the same time. But if I'm only listening to my heart, I'm always happy about what I'm doing. There isn't a conflict. So if I'm not happy about what I'm doing, to some degree, I'm listening to the ego. Now, it could be I'm still doing exactly what my heart wants me to do, but I'm listening to my ego's chatter about it, right? That happens too. So sometimes when you investigate, you find out, you know, I do want to do this, but I need to quit listening to the ego's opinion because the ego is dragging me down here and it doesn't need to. I need to let go of the ego and just do this because, the heart is guiding me. So that can happen too. But until you start looking and asking why and checking it out, you don't know why you're doing things. So starting with sentence 27, the ego is the nature that desires to protect you from attack based on its fear, guilt, and unworthiness. If you find these at the basis of your reason, meaning fear, guilt, or unworthiness, you can know you are reasoning for self-will and the individual. Then you can make your choice as you choose. See, even here, Holy Spirit is saying, you know, you could investigate that you really don't want to return this phone call. And what you're finding is that the only reason you're returning the phone call is guilt and you're afraid of what the other person will think of you. See that. And then after you see that, Spirit says, then you can do as you choose. So you can still return the phone call. You can say, I don't want to have to, you know, I still have too much belief that I could be guilty. My backlash, if I don't return this phone call, is going to be more than I want to deal with right now. So even though I understand I'm returning the phone call out of guilt, I'm going to return it anyway. Spirit's okay with that because you know what? You still brought it into awareness. And that's helpful. So whether you want to be aggressive now and not return the phone call and set with your backlash and, you know, which is what I did. That is the way I did it. Or whether you want to see I'm only doing this out of guilt and do it anyway. Spirit's saying you can do either. But now you understand what's driving you and that's important just to bring it into awareness. Because your awareness is the light that heals. And if you start bringing into your awareness, I'm only doing this out of guilt, I'm only doing this out of guilt, I'm only doing this out of guilt, without judging yourself for it, just seeing it, there's going to come a day when you're going to say, you know what, I don't want to do this anymore. You know? Right? So, if you find these, meaning fear, guilt, and unworthiness, at the basis of your reason, you can know you are reasoning for self-will and the individual. Then you can make your choice as you choose, knowing what it is that you do. You need not feel guilty for your choice because the Son of God is free to choose as he chooses. So you can still make the phone call out of guilt. Just be honest with yourself that that's what you're doing. The characteristics of the right reason of the Holy Spirit are wholly different from the characteristics of the right reason of the ego. So now we're going to look at how Holy Spirit thinks. If you take time to seek for why before acting or reacting to anything or anyone at any time, You can know the reason that you follow, and you can know the will that you choose. The Holy Spirit is love. But since love is unfamiliar to you, this may not be the characteristic you can know and follow. Therefore, the characteristics of love are these: peace, acceptance, joy, recognition or remembrance, and always the purpose of one. So these are the characteristics of the Holy Spirit's guidance. You will not find division within the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Right reason will not come to you from a desire for defense. It will come from a willingness to trust. So, for example, one thing that I do more of now than I did when I had this huge salary is give money away. And in fact, recently my salary, you know, dropped by about 50%, and I noticed I'm still giving money away. And like, it doesn't make any friggin' sense. Not if you think like the ego, because I have less money than I've had in my entire adult life, and I'm still giving it away, right? Well, that's because I'm listening to spirit. That's what's going on. If I was listening to ego, there's no way I'd be giving money away right now. I would be very, very, very tight-fisted about it. But I still feel, I've learned to feel that prompt. I mean, and I'm not just giving money away to give it away. Don't get me wrong. But I can feel, but there, I can feel it. You know, there's something in me that says, okay, give this person such and such, you know, give this, and when it happens, I'm still doing it. So it's not coming from a desire for defense. I'm obviously not trying to defend myself when I'm giving my money away while I have less money than I've ever had before, right? It's coming from a willingness to trust. That's exactly where it's coming from. Why else would I give money away if I didn't trust that everything was going to be okay without even knowing how it's going to be okay, right? It, meaning the Holy Spirit, will not come from fear, but from faith that the plan of love is in action. So, do I have a good example of that, or does anybody else? Yeah, well... Do you have one?
Going to work?
Tell me about that.
Well, it's, you know, recently taken this job teaching.
Yes.
And it's not something that I wanted to do.
Right.
But it felt really clear to me that it was guidance and that I was to do it. And so I really had to step through the fear. And with each step of the process, I'm having to step through the fear and just go. And I did that, you know, this morning before I went to teach my first class. It's like, oh, my God, I can't do this. But it's not up to me to do.
Right.
As soon as I'm told, I'm just following.
Yeah, that's a perfect example. And so you don't even know how it fits into the plan of love. You know, and you know, an example of mine that I thought of as you were speaking, to be honest, it's my membership here. You know, I was guided to be a member here, and as soon as I started coming here, a certain amount of people let me know that I wasn't welcome. And they continue to tell me in ways that I'm not welcome. And, you know, my defense would be, well, then I don't want to go there. My offense would be avoiding coming here. Let's stay away. But I continue to have the guidance to come. And I don't fully know what it's about. However, if I sat here with this group wouldn't be here if I wasn't coming here. Last Friday night, that group wouldn't have been here if I wasn't coming here. So obviously things are happening. But it's not like when I'm guided to come here, like it's not like Holy Spirit said, okay, I want you to join the Center for Inner Peace. And here's exactly what's going to come of it, right? These are the benefits. And, you know, you don't know. You just, even though, and it's just like you, my personal will would have been not to come. My personal will, as soon as people gave me the looks that they gave me when I showed up, would have been to hide, to never go back, right? So, but there's just some kind of this, there's just this trust in the guidance that this is what I am to do, and I don't even need to ever feel like I fully understood it. So when you're coming from spirit, you don't even necessarily need to know the outcome of your guidance. Sometimes you do see outcomes, but sometimes you don't. You're just having faith that whatever you're being guided to do has a purpose. That purpose does not have to report to you, right? You just do it because you feel to do it. That's all. You're following spirit in that way when you have that feeling. It, meaning Holy Spirit, will see no division and seek not for guilt, but desire only the highest good for all. So, you know, whenever I look at anyone and I judge them and I see them as guilty, I'm coming from ego. I could look at someone that the personality of Regina would not like, and I can still be aware of that, that the personality of Regina would not like this person. But within me, there is an ability to love anyway. Like, it doesn't matter whether Regina would like them or not. It's totally irrelevant. And when I'm in that place, that ability to love anyway and to totally ignore Regina's preferences for personalities, I'm in spirit. When I'm in Regina's preferences for personalities, I'm in ego. Right? It, meaning spirit's guidance, will trust your worth and the hands you are in. It will be willing to let go and let God. Again, we don't have to have a 5-year plan. We don't have to know what's the benefit to me if I do this. It doesn't even have to be a benefit to me. Who wants the benefit to me? That's ego, right? I just do it because I feel to. So really what we're talking about is when we're following spirit, we don't have a whole lot of idea about why we're doing anything. You know, spirit doesn't come with all that information. There's just this feeling to do it, this feeling to go, this feeling to stop. And what often happens, because spirit is just a subtle feeling to do or not do, then what happens is ego comes after the feeling and tries to add all these stories. Here's why I go to the Center for Inner Peace. Here's why I'm going to work. Here's, but that's all made up stuff. And as soon as we do that, now we've added ego's chatter to our guidance. And obviously we're in the best place if we can learn to follow our guidance without adding to it by making up stories. You know, what makes us think we have to make up stories? Believe it or not, that's the defense kicking in again. You know, I want to be able to explain to my family, to my friends, why I'm doing this. That's defense, right? That's ego. We don't need to explain why we're doing it. And people are going to ask, why are you doing that? I don't know. If we can stay there, I just feel to. I just trust. See how that's spirit? Yeah. Okay, so go ahead.
As I said about something a while ago, and then ego will come around again for me and to make me feel guilty and go, you know, you and I had this plan. Holy Spirit had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
That wasn't really guidance. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's, again, you just got to watch ego. Because ego will, I mean, sometimes our action, you know, it's not always an action, but our action or our non-action is pure. And then ego tries to come and convince us that it's not. So that is one thing you have to watch. And again, with me, in fact, I told Tom this story a couple weeks ago. I was on a Yahoo group before Facebook. And this was shortly after NTI came out. And when NTI first came out, there were quite a few people who did a lot of very serious bashing. In fact, attacking would be a fair word in this case. Attacking of NTI and attacking of me. And there were some, you know, really mean things said. And at that time, it didn't bother me too much when they attacked me. But when they started attacking NTI, I got a little defensive because my thought process was NTI could be really helpful to some people. But if these guys squash it before it ever gets out there, it won't be able to be helpful. So I felt like I had to defend NTI. But when I wanted to go and defend NTI, my intuition was like, don't. You know, because that's coming from fear, right? Don't. Just step back, let this happen, and don't do anything. So that's what I did. I stepped back, and there were many, many emails every day, you know, public emails, attacking, and I did nothing. I did nothing. I did nothing. And then one day, ego came in and said, the only reason you're not defending yourself is because you want to look spiritual. See? And then for a moment, I almost fell for that, but then I remembered, no, that's not why. I did it because I was guided to do nothing. I was guided to trust. I was guided. It was out of fear that I wanted to do something. And my guidance was not to listen to my fear. That's all. You know, so ego will come back and ego will try and get you in any way. And so you have to remain as clear as you can. You have to remain, nope, the reason I'm doing this is because I don't want to defend out of fear. Whew. End of story. You know? So, but we have a split mind, and sometimes there's more than one intention for why you're doing something, so you have to get to what's your core intention. And trust your core. So, you will know when you follow the reason of the Holy Spirit, because the action you take will not fight for a desired outcome. It will be an action of now, in faith and trust, with all else given to God. So using the example of not defending, that was spirit because it was an action without a desired outcome. I didn't know if these people were going to squash NTI and never get out there or not. But my guidance was just to stay back and do nothing. So I stayed back and I did nothing in faith and trust, giving everything to spirit. You know, it's the same thing about coming here. You know, I just keep coming because I keep feeling that this is where I'm supposed to be. And I just take it a day at a time, a moment at a time, and I have no idea what's going to happen. That's spirit. When you're in such an incredible place of ignorance about your own actions, you're in spirit. So, bottom line, ego's the one with all the stories, all the reasons, all the excuses. Spirit's nothing but a feeling, you know, without any story, without any promises, without anything.
Can you repeat that last sentence about the ignorance?
Oh, I don't know what I say. Can you give me a hint?
Ignorance by your own actions.
When you really don't even know why you're doing what you're doing, that's when you're the most in spirit.
That's pretty SP.
Yeah. And you know, the less you know about why you're doing what you're doing, the more you're in spirit. You know, just think of yourself as being blown by the wind, and that's all you know, is you're being blown here now and here now.
Incapable of being accurately predicting.
Yeah, incapable of accurately predicting. So do your best to stick with what you know now. I know now that I'm to fly for this job. I know now that I'm to, you know, go to the center. I know now that I'm to whatever. And try and just keep it at that.
And don't ever try to explain to anybody that you're an NTI. Because they won't... my experience is that... It'd be fantastic to a non NTI student to wrap their head around that.
Yeah.
So all you really succeed in doing is puzzling people.
Well, and you may sometimes, because somebody else is really concerned, you may sometimes find yourself throwing them a cookie, even though you don't fully believe it yourself. And that, I think that's okay. You know, so like if I don't know. This didn't happen, so now I'm just making up a story. But if my father had been really afraid when I moved to Pueblo for some reason, if that had really scared him, and if he'd said, Regina, why are you moving to Pueblo? I might have said something like, Dad, I've always wanted to live by the mountains. Which wasn't the truth, but that alleviated his worry. So, you know, that would have alleviated his worry. So every now and then to throw a cookie at someone because they're afraid and they can't understand to put their mind at ease, that's actually okay. Don't worry about that, because it's never helpful for anybody to be worrying or fearful. So if you can say something little that will help put their mind at ease, go ahead. That's different than you making up a bunch of stories that you're believing, right? Yeah. All right, so I think the assignment for this week is just do your best to start discerning. Just do your best to start really discerning what's ego, what's not ego. And again, remember, even if you notice you're doing something out of guilt or fear, if you are feeling too guilty or too afraid to let go of it, go ahead and do it. Just be honest with yourself. This is why I'm doing it. I'm doing it because I'm afraid. I'm doing it because I would feel guilty if I didn't, you know, and I don't want to feel guilty, so that's why I'm doing it. And at least you're exposing your conditioning, and that alone is helpful.
So if I'm ignorant, I'm doing pretty well.
If you're what?
If I'm ignorant about it.
Oh, yeah. If you have no idea why you're doing it, that's right. Probably spirit. Yeah, that's spirit. Yeah. The Fool on the Hill. The Beatles song? Yeah, you want to be the fool on the hill. I remember somebody came to our house with a bunch of cards. Do you remember who that was? And we all drew cards. And mine was the fool.
Was it Mary Ellen?
I don't know. But mine was the fool. And at first I thought, the fool, until I read the description. And this was the interpretation of fool, was just that you're moved by, it didn't say spirit because it was from some other tradition, but you're just moved by spirit, so you don't really know why you're doing anything, you don't have any plans, that's the fool. We all want to be the fool. With a smile on our face. Which, if you listen to the Beatles song, The Fool on the Hill, he has a smile on his face, right? All right, well, we're almost out of time, but why don't we take a couple minutes of silence, and then we'll bring it back for a little bit of discussion.